Defense Report. Yes, here's your defense report to the people of the United States. Official news and feature stories of the armed forces brought to you each week at this time, transcribed from the Department of Defense in Washington.
And here are the headlines.
Military dollars combat unemployment. Shoot gets new look. Promotions for G.I. Joe and civilians learn military know-how. And for our feature of the week, Operation Bulldozer. But now, here's the first headline, Military Dollars Combat Unemployment.
The Army, Navy, and Air Force have their own way of dealing with the unemployment problem. Through the Munitions Board and the Department of Commerce, they are working out a plan to ease unemployment in certain distressed areas. Briefly, it's a plan to tell industrial groups how to do business with the military departments. Procurement guides and a comprehensive index of military procurement offices will be distributed to chambers of commerce. These guides will be of great help in explaining to manufacturers how they may qualify for government contracts. At the same time, the Munitions Board will conduct a study of plant capacities in two areas, Muskegon, Michigan, and New Bedford, Massachusetts. This will be done to determine whether or not any current items for the Army, Navy, or Air Force can be manufactured in these areas. Distressed areas throughout the country will benefit from this latest effort of the armed services to make the most of the ever-important dollar. And now here's a yarn about shoots get new look.
A billowing extended skirt made of a nylon waffle weave material and fashioned with heavy cross threads that almost sound like the lead for a fall fashion story. Instead, it's the report of another Navy research project, a new extended skirt parachute designed for high-speed bailouts from jet planes. The billowing skirt, which is 28 feet in diameter, 4 feet more than the conventional model, provides less shock, a more stable descent, and checks the pendulum motion of the jumper as he approaches the ground. This swinging motion has been the cause of many landing accidents with parachutes now in use. A Navy veteran parachutist, Lieutenant A.C. Binder, suggested and designed the new chute and was the first man to test it in a jump. After extensive tests during the past year, the chute was selected by the Navy Bureau of Aeronautics over 100 different types for use in high-speed aircraft. Early next year, pilots of jet planes and other fighter aircraft will carry the new chute as standard equipment. For them, it will be safety first and the new look to boot. And now here's a story about promotions for G.I. Joe.
From now until the first part of December, they'll be burning the midnight oil in Army commands throughout the world. And that means just one thing, boning up for examination. Beginning the 5th of December, the Army's combat career promotion examinations will be given to enlisted men on duty all over the world. And the Army is giving them for just one purpose, to select a crack non-commissioned officer corps, which Lieutenant General E.H. Brooks has described as the essential foundation of our peacetime Army. These exams will provide our soldiers with a promotion system that compares favorably to that used in American industry. It will also offer them an opportunity to reach the top through their own abilities and job performances. Competition promises to be keen, and it will really be the survival of the fittest. And now here's some information on civilians learn military know-how.
How much is known about our national defense, the inner workings of our Army, Navy, and Air Force, their relation to industry, education, government, and labor, and perhaps what's most important of all, to you, the individual? In an attempt to answer these questions, Secretary of Defense Lewis Johnson has invited 80 representative civilians to attend a joint civilian orientation conference under the auspices of the Department of Defense. Leaders from all walks of life, men representing the General Electric Company, the Federal Reserve Bank, Mississippi State College, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, Mississippi State College, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, the American Federation of Labor, the CIO, the American Legion, and various publicity media will have a chance to familiarize themselves with our defense problems. Now, this will be accomplished by a two-day session in Washington beginning September 19th, to be followed by a six-day tour of three important military installations. Joining the group at the Norfolk Naval Base will be the Joint Chiefs of Staff and other top officials. There, they'll board an aircraft carrier and witness demonstrations in anti-submarine warfare, carrier flight operations, and the Schnorkel submarine maneuvers. At the Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, the group will see flight demonstrations by the B-36, the latest jet fighters, rocket firings, and missile launchings. The Army's part of the show will be put on at Fort Benning in Georgia and will include glider formations, mass paratrooper jumps, and firing demonstrations, all with live ammunition. The success of this entire project is best expressed in the words of a former member of the conference who said, "The whole vast effort is so moving that I wish 140 million Americans somehow could view it as I did." That's the story. Now for our feature of the week. Operation Bulldozer.
A strange caravan will be on its way to Alaska, going by boat from Vancouver, Washington, and will be 300 metal trailers in this caravan, which the Air Force is sending to three bases. Waiting for their arrival are Air Force enlisted men and their families on duty there. And you can bet it will be a strange sight to the Eskimos when these trailers are transformed into houses, complete with curtains and picket fences. And now, right on the heels of this news, is promise of construction along more permanent lines, not only in Alaska, but at military installations throughout the states. On the 8th of August, President Truman signed a housing bill sponsored by Senator Wherry of Nebraska. It provides for the construction of 60,000 family housing units for the Army, Navy, and Air Force personnel on duty in the states in Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Multiple-unit garden-type apartments will be built at most of the installations, but in a few places, individual houses will be constructed. Junior officers and top-grade enlisted men are slated to move in to most of the new units. Each of the services will work out details to benefit its own personnel. This increase in permanent quarters will help to take care of the thousands who are now living in only temporary structures. From now on, the sight of bulldozers and steam shovels on any military base should cause as much excitement, if not more, than the appearance of a faster plane, a bigger gun, or a newly commissioned ship. And now for news on the lighter side, the expendable oxygen mask.
25 cents won't buy much these days, but the Air Force is going to produce a disposable oxygen mask made of paper and plastic for just that amount. It came about when the Military Air Transport Service asked for an inexpensive, practical, and efficient mask for passengers in planes flying above normal altitudes. This is what they got: a mask that is light, compact, and easy to wear, and fits into a 5x7.5-inch flat envelope. It is completely effective up to 25,000 feet, from 4 to 5 hours, and can be used with standard constant flow oxygen equipment. It requires no prior fitting. A supply can be kept in the aircraft at all times, and after being used, it is merely thrown away. This is a big improvement over the conventional rubber mask that had to be checked in and out, fitted individually, and then sterilized after each using. Three words will adequately describe the new 25-cent product: expendable, but dependable. And now here's some news about a 5-second launching.
Semper Paratus, the Latin for always prepared, is more than a motto for the Coast Guard. It's the reason for their existence. It was recently announced that in the past year, the Coast Guard rescue outfit saved more than 5,000 people from perils at sea and went to the aid of ships in distress over 9,000 times in a 12-month period. Skill counts in this hazardous work, but speed is an important factor too. Seconds are precious and can't be wasted. That's one of the reasons why the Coast Guard is now adopting the new Cradle Crane, an innovation that cuts lifeboat launching time from 2 minutes to a swift 5 seconds. The crane lowers the boat in such a way that it is ready, already traveling forward when it contacts the water. It's not only faster, but requires only 2 men for launching as opposed to the customary 5 men. It's a grim duty that our Coast Guard does well. But they do it in 5 seconds. And now here's a story about Trick Timer that works for the Army.
Anyone who's in the market for a clock these days can buy one of practically any description. A musical clock, one with chimes, the kind that turns on the radio automatically, or a clock with a ship's bell, almost anything you can think of. But an Army inventor, a former chief warrant officer, has built still another type for a much different purpose than usual. It's an electric clock that automatically records the time of transmission and the station identification of every outgoing message sent by the Army Communication Center in Washington. The inventor built the first model in a month with the aid of 5 men in the maintenance shop. It was later modified. And the message timer relieves the operator of the task of timing, and in addition, permits analysis and correction of any delays in transmission. Designed to serve a maximum of 100 teletyper circuits, it also makes it possible to learn precisely how traffic flows over each of the numerous channels in the Army's global communications network. Now, naturally, it's not as simple as it sounds, but it helps to get that all-important word around. Here's some news about some fancy footwear for Huskies.
You may think you've heard of everything, particularly in the fashion line. But do you know that there are such things as open-toed shoes for dogs? Well, they came to light in the Navy's motion picture, The Secret Land, the documentary of the Antarctic expedition. In fact, there seems to have been a goodly amount of research in back of this canine foot covering. The sled dogs had to have something for their feet to keep them from cutting them badly on the sharp ice. But not until many kind of shoes, or not just any kind of shoes would do, and not until many kinds had been experimented with, was this type accepted. Traction could not be sacrificed for safety or comfort. Research finally came up with the answer, a fashion-minded one at that. Open-toed moccasins would do the trick. They would protect the Husky's bare skin soles, but in the case of a hard pull or a quick stop on the jagged ice, the traction-aiding toenails would be used. And that's just what nature intended.
And now we'd like to leave you with this thought, our quote of the week, from an address by the Secretary of Navy, the Honorable Francis P. Matthews.
The new Department of Defense was instituted by law for the purpose of effecting the utmost efficiency and the greatest possible economy in each of the 3 departments of the Defense Department, so as to effect great savings to the taxpayers of the nation. The military establishment is responsible for approximately 1/3 of the national budget. It must bear its share of necessary reductions of governmental expenditures. The Navy expects to accommodate itself to that necessity. Everything that we are doing in the Navy today is aimed at the objective of making the greatest possible contribution in the most economical manner possible to the national security. We feel that by so doing, we are doing our part towards securing a peaceful world for ourselves and for all people everywhere.
WKZO brings you a defense report each week at this time in the public interest. Transcribed from the Department of Defense in Washington. Your defense reporters have been Joe Butler and
Tony Gaston.